Now, believe it or not, this sermon was written before all of the conversations of this last week. But we certainly did get exposed to the challenge, didn't we, of figuring out where truth really resides and what makes for truth. Most of us here likely have heard this rather famous brethren statement around the value of truth. A brethren's word as good as his, and I'm adding her, bond. Today, truth telling and truth living is not so clear. Who is telling the truth? Who isn't telling the truth? What is real news? And what is false news? Our founding parents, wanting integrity to be a key value of life and discipleship, put an emphasis on the fact we needed to live in such a way that our lives spoke the truth. Andy Murray, a well-beloved person, he's been a pastor, he's been a teacher, a professor, he's been a great singer, happens to attend church with me, or I with him, when I'm there. And he's written a ballad about Granddaddy Was a Farmer. Take a listen.
Thank you.
Are we full bodied people? Is our word as good as our bond? Jesus recorded in Matthew's gospel, the 5th chapter, the 37th verse, "Let your word be yes, yes, or your no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." A little bit later, probably after the first year, I'm going to speak on the Sermon on the Mount, for it is the substance of Jesus' teaching, and there's a lot more behind that claimed text of the brethren about taking a bond. I remember as a pastor, there were a couple times that I was called into court to make a character witness. A bit nervous, a little uncertain how the whole thing worked, but knowing that I had a responsibility to not put my hand in the Bible and swear to tell the truth. But the clerk came toward me. And as he approached, I very calmly said, "I affirm to tell the truth." And he stopped, and he looked at me, and he turned around and went back and took his seat. Evidently, he believed I would tell the truth. Then add to what we're discovering about truth, full-bodied, honest kind of person that lives with the integrity that everyone knows to the best of their ability that there's honesty. Jesus offers this challenge in this morning's scripture reading. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart are those who live with integrity, who make it their aim to tell the truth. Now, the one exception might be Corrie ten Boom, who hid Jewish people in a partition of the wall of her home because she had a desire to protect the life of those people. And in a significant way, I think she was a full-bodied person because she was telling another truth, a truth of the gospel that she believed to protect human life that was going to be robbed of its being by being thrown into a furnace and burned. If we immerse our lives in disciplined prayer and study of Scripture and focused study and meditations on the teaching of Jesus, and if we bring our lives together as a community of people and we work on the tough stuff of life, we can become full-bodied people. Now, I know that's a challenge in today's culture. We have a lot of things that bombard us. There's email, there's texting, there's tweeting, there's Facebook, there's newspapers, there's televisions, there's propaganda pamphlets. It is hard to sort through the truth. Believe me, I have not become an expert in all of that sorting. But if we work at preparing ourselves, if we take seriously being together as a community of believers, if we attend faith formation gatherings where we struggle with the uncommon good, which one group is looking at right now, we begin to think new thoughts, deeper thoughts. We're invited to go deeper into Scripture and understand truth in a new way. Our Ephesians scripture this morning is referring to leadership roles. Leadership has a role to immerse themselves in getting as close to the truth as we humanly can. And believe me, I don't think I've always been an expert at that. If I compare where I began my journey in life and ministry to where I am now, truth has taken on a much larger perspective. I discern with a different kind of mind and heart, but I still have the goal to learn the truth. And the verse that comes right after what was read this morning says, to be built up in the unity of life, to not be thrown around by all the doctrines and all of the ideas and all of the expertise of people, but to learn the truth and to speak it in love. Are you a truth speaker? Do you speak it in love and care and concern for the Christ you serve and follow? Do you speak it and live it in concern that the wholeness of humanity can grow up into the fullness of Jesus Christ? We say that Jesus is God's love present to all. All of us. All of the world. But if we live differently, what does that tell the world? We don't feed the hungry, which I'm thankful for CHO and the efforts that go into feeding hungry people in this community. If we don't respect the humanity in the individuals who are street people as well as rich people, recognizing they are created in the image of God, and if we forget to live Jesus' life and example in discipleship, how will those who are searching and hungering and longing for a relevant place to be, how will they find the truth? David Steele, our general secretary, offered in a writing on a calendar, some of you probably received that calendar, that we see another way of living whenever people come together to struggle to hear God's voice so that they can follow Jesus more clearly. Isn't that what we're doing or wanting to do? We come together so that we can hear God's voice more clearly. This is what Paul describes and means by speaking the truth in love and growing up in every way into the fullness. In other words, who is Jesus? What was Jesus about? That fullness of who he is now. I was meeting with a group of people that are being trained for ministry this weekend, and they taught me as much as I hopefully was able to teach them. But we were talking about, do we talk about the living Christ enough? Do we believe? Do we have the faith that Jesus is here right now with us, alive, resurrected, helping us to search for the truth? When I was a child, I never enjoyed getting into trouble, but I certainly seemed to know how to get there. I knew that telling a lie or blaming my brother or sister for what I had done wrong would have grave consequences, not only from them, but from mom and dad. I know it because the warm seat that I walked away from a truth-telling moment. And if it was bad enough, from the taste of Ivory soap in my mouth, oh, I hated that. Now, my parents believed that telling the truth was next to godliness. Well, they also believed cleanliness was the next to godliness. Our culture today seems to be forgetting the value of truth and trustworthy living. Political leaders and sport figures and even church leaders seem to think it is okay to tell lies and then ask people to trust and believe in them. As Christians, we will remember that we are to live for the truth of the one whose name we are baptized, God, Son, Holy Spirit. That is where our integrity as people of faith begins. That's when we set our face toward telling the truth in love. Now, it's not always easy. I would confess to that as a disciple. It wasn't easy for Jesus' disciples. Look at how they became divided as he moved closer to the cross. Look at Peter as he impulsively tried to say, "Don't go there. You can prevent it." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he was calling the lack of truth and understanding firmly of one whom he dearly loved at that moment and even beyond. It isn't easy in all the noise and the rattlings around and the conversations and the expertise that comes before us to figure out what is political or theological truth in the time in which we live. How do we decide what justice needs to be addressed? It seems to suffer from the lack of truth spoken and lived in love. So the challenge I put before us, the question I ask us to struggle with is, how do we as a church help one another live the truth in these difficult days? To proceed as a presence of integrity for those who want to better understand the truth. Since the Reformation, several sources of truth are to be taken into consideration. They emphasized authentic worship, where we meet and we truly believe the living Christ is there, where we raise our hearts and minds before God in praise and in thanksgiving, where faith grows and deepens, the space is safe, we can have different opinions, we test those opinions by each other, by Scripture, and even ask the living Christ who comes with us from when the Bible emerged to the right now and begins to help us identify truth based on the marks that Christ set forth in the Sermon on the Mount, based on the challenges and the offerings he set before the disciples. The basic source of truth is, do our words and do our actions show loving God, loving neighbor, as we love ourselves? James Calvin Davis, in the book Forbearance, a book I've referred to before, reminds his readers that we find fidelity in the Word of God, found in Scripture and found in Jesus and the sacraments. For us, that is, would be the ordinances. But I would agree with him if we could add one more dimension. We find the truth and integrity and fidelity if we add the Spirit of the living Christ who walks with us and who teaches us forbearance, being one with the other for the good of each and for the good of the kingdom of God. If we walk that way, and if we live that way, I'm not scared of dealing with issues of justice, because I believe faithfulness is found in our integrity. Remember in John's gospel, they were always trying to trick him, and that's a part of the persecution the Christians face in their everyday life. In John's gospel, the Pharisees came forth and they brought the woman caught in adultery. Some of us likely remember that story. Now, their intentions were not goodwill. Their intentions were not in alignment with the love of God. Their intention was not in alignment with the love of humanity. They actually threw the woman down in front of Jesus. Now, their plan was that Jesus would say something that would allow them to stone her to death for her act of adultery. You remember what Jesus did? He bent down and he began to write in the soil. Now, there's a lot of ideas of what he was writing, but I think what he was doing was practicing forbearance. Listening to the words, the rumble of those who had come, listening beyond to what their motives were, listening to God speak in his heart, in his understanding, for God was within him. And then he stood up. You can imagine how intimidating it is, the one with integrity looks you in the eye and understands your motives and your false intentions. He never said a thing about the woman. What he said is, let anyone among you who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. They turned and walked away. A model for dealing with difficult situations. The writing in the sand concept of listening, of searching, of hearing the living Christ speak to our hearts and minds. James Calvin Davis, whom I referred to earlier, wrote that there are five marks of a church that desires to speak and live truth and love. I could say a lot about them. I'm just going to name them. Number one, they embrace rather than run from exposure to other points of view. Two, they are invested in critical study about life and faith challenging issues. Number three, they never close the door on changing their minds, which he calls humility. Number four, the pursuit of truth through forbearance changes how Christians win and lose their theological battles. Eventually, they will have to make decisions, yes, but no, not all will be happy. But there will be no standing ovations for those who won, but justice and kindness and the common good must be kept in mind. And finally, number five, they reinforce their commitment to truth spoken and lived in love by continuing to bring themselves around the word, by continuing to take the ordinances, as we call them, the love feast and communion, the bread and the cup. And today, by the way, is, I believe, World Communion Sunday. And we're going to do it a little differently here and have it a little bit later because of that. But we want to honor that all Christians in the world are remembering Christ through the cup and the bread. And I invite us to at least think that image as a part of today. Now, I'm here standing before you that I don't believe we as Christians will always get it right. History proves that to be reality. But what I believe at this juncture in my life and journey is that if we take seriously the words and the teachings and the resurrection of Jesus, that we bump into the reality that forgiveness follows our pathway of desired faithfulness. In Jesus Christ, we cannot fail as long as we open to let His Spirit continue to speak His truth in love to us and for others. Those who want to be pure in heart are not filled with judgment. That's one of the truest tests. What is the word saying? Is it a judgmental? Is it judgmentalism? Or is it a word spoken in love and care and genuine concern? If we live that way, if we practice our life in that way toward our family members, toward our church family, toward our neighborhoods where we live, and in the neighborhood where we're called to be in mission, I assure you, God will be glorified, and our neighbor's good will be served. Let it be so.